The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I don't want to hear you like that.
Turn down her mic.
No, you just turn it down.
Turn down the mic. Yeah, it's
turn down for what?
There we go. Everybody's chiming in here, so to speak.
Hey.
All right. Hey. Today is Sunday, January 28th, 2024. We're almost through the first month. You know, it's just like falling off a building. So far, so good. My name is
I don't know. I don't fall off buildings.
Well, don't be gay in a Muslim country. That's all I have to say. Today is January 28th, 2024. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
And the kid that rocks around the clock, faster than speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, 10th grade black belt RAM, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
Just give him a few minutes after he drinks that drink over there. It's loaded up with sugar.
That was actually a test of how good the cappuccino was that I just drank on. Not one stumble. Not one. Never mind.
It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, never mind.
Great day.
And moving right along.
Good morning. Anyway, we're here in the studio, and I guess we should cover our sponsors. We've got Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent. She's down there at 810 Main Street, Red Bluff, and her phone number is 530. I'm going to stumble here sooner or later. I can feel it coming on.
And here it is. Ding.
Shut up. 530-527-5534.
Oh, two.
She's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. And Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575. Licensed and bonded.
And bonded.
He's licensed
and bonded.
And bonded. There you go. Shut up again. Shut up,
would you? Yeah. Nice try.
Crackmaster.
Yes, Jeff Wurst down there on Market Street. He's the best in the North State. If you have a crack or a chip in your windshield, go see him. He's located at 3208 South Market Street, Redding, California. Keep your yap shut.
It's so hard not to run with the joke.
Oh. Yeah, it works both ways. Baby.
Shut your pie hole. Yeah. We have.
That works both ways.
Okay. We're brought to you, well, we're not brought to you, but we're here because of mountaintopmedia.com. Not because because we're there. And, you know, we had a couple of programs that are being released this last week. Go watch them. A couple of interesting programs. I think one is on the Great Grift or the Great, it's not the reset, it's the Great Taking. Now, I'd go watch that if you have any investments. It's something you might want to pay attention to. Another one should be coming out in the next day or so. We actually have been monetized on Rumble. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
I didn't know it either. I got on this morning, and I was saying, well, I'll go look at my page, you know, there, and it comes up. And we've gotten monetized. We've made 11 whole cents.
Ching, fair. Ching, 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 ching.
Yeah, it's nothing but up from here.
That may not be true.
There's no way to the top, but Up. All right, see you at the top.
You're doing slightly better than Reading Area Bus Authority.
Just a little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
I bet we're in the black and they're in the red.
So, well, you know, when Rabba spends a dollar, they get about 6 cents back on the dollar, somewhere in there.
Sounds like Washington.
Is that money laundering?
Yeah. Not very good if it is.
That reminds me of...
Yeah, that rate of return isn't very good at all.
Reminds me of that old Christmas joke of why the kid won't send his money to Santa Claus. He says, I looked up the return envelope address when it came back, and it said it went through Washington, and those rats took 95% of it. Never got to Santa. Anyway, we have a guest here today, if you haven't guessed already. Who our guest is, you can take a guess if you would like. But we have Patrick Jones. He is the former chairman of the Board of Supervisors. Now he's the
Board of Supervisor.
He's District 4, which is our district, which I'm proud to say.
No, mine's 5.
Well, my district, see.
So is Dave's, I believe, is 5.
Okay.
5's got it.
We can stop right here.
Okay.
All right, so we have Patrick Jones in here, and we had a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. You've been on for a couple hours, and
yes.
It sounds like your voice is starting to wear a little thin.
No, it's getting better.
It's getting better.
It's only begun over there.
I got a little sore throat, but happy to be here. And, you know, it was an honor for me to be chair for the year of 2023, and that is something that we typically rotate, but it does have to be approved by a majority of the board. And recently we approved... and voted for Kevin Cry to be chair, and he's already started off great. We've already had 2 meetings where we had good things happening, and so I'm proud of the accomplishments that we were able to do as a more conservative board starting in January 2023. Now, that was an important shift because you saw Supervisor Cry and Supervisor Kellstrom come on, and then joining me, it was clearly a more conservative board. And our policies and decisions were going to reflect that. And I'm happy with that because this is a conservative county and it should have a majority of election or our representatives represent the people that are like-minded. And so, you know, I'm very happy with that. And I'm, you know, proud of all the decisions that we've made. Now, many decisions that we made, the state came around and passed state laws and said, no, you can't do that. Of course, terminating the Dominion contract was one of them, AB 969. The Fountain Wind project, we denied that, and they came around with AB 205. They also, when there was a successful recall of Leonard Modi, they came around, passed a new law that now you do not get to vote for a person to replace if you choose yes or no. Now the governor gets to appoint. And that's one of the reasons why we move forward on the charter county. That will be able to be voted for by the public on March 5th. And the only thing that's on the charter county is that strips the governor of that appointment and puts it back to the board to do one of 3 things, either to make the appointment, to not do anything until the next election, or to have a special election. And so we're pushing back the best that we can. We're suing the Energy Commission right now, and I hope that we sue the state of California on 969. I believe that was a massive overreach, and we don't have fair elections. But there's enough of us and good hardworking people here in Shasta County that as long as we continue to put the pressure, I think ultimately we'll get there.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you were just talking about as far as the local control. You know, I watch commercials. I hardly watch TV anymore because I can't stand it. It's just, you know, nothing but propaganda typically, especially from our local news. I mean, they don't cover anything. They just cover it's the thought shaping as opposed to giving you the news that is going to tell you what you need to know. So, but I caught the commercials. I got the commercials on, you know, the pro side and then the con side of the local control. And I find it striking that the opposition or the people who want to recall Kevin Cry say that because of money coming in from Reverge Anselmo, that's going to now make us puppets of Reverge Anselmo out of Connecticut. And so maybe we want to address this because I think that part of this is that, you know, number one, in order to even compete in a lot of this stuff, you have to have some money. And the other side never talks about where they get their money from.
Yeah. No, and you know, and I'm very good friends with Reverge. I knew him when he was here. He was a resident here for 7 years. He spent $30 million in Shasta County, employed a lot of people, did a lot of good things, and the county harassed him, and eventually he left this county never to return. And that's really what got me started with running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, is that shouldn't happen to anybody, and it has happened to other people too. And Reverge is not revengeful. He's nothing like that at all. In fact, he's extremely generous. He's given millions and millions and millions of dollars to different causes all over the globe, and a little bit of money here in Shasta County to a small conservative PAC. What I find astonishing when people want to talk about, say, this small conservative PAC, is that they never mention the 1,000 PACs, hundreds of millions of dollars in Sacramento that control every assemblyman and every senator. They don't talk, and they're all liberal PACs, mind you, right? Most of them are. And they don't talk about any of that, but they want to talk about this small little PAC here in Shasta County. And it's because it's a conservative PAC, and the people that are screaming the loudest, they're liberals.
Right.
And they don't like it. And they finally have, there is some opposition to them that can match them dollar for dollar, if not exceed them. And they've never experienced that before. And so they're crying foul. But it's what they've been doing for years. The McConnell Foundation and others, the Silversteins, the Menors, there's lots of money out there that have been funneled towards things. And they had much control for a long time. They don't this year. And in fact, when Kevin got elected, they started working on the recall in January to try to remove him from office solely to get control of the board. That's what it was about.
That's what this is all about. And because he hadn't even had time to do anything to address the issues that they're talking about. So, now I've got on Rumble or Mountaintop Media coming out this next week, talking a little bit about this. And one of the things I found out was that Judy Salter, is it Judy?
Mm-hmm.
Judy?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at her Twitter page, and not only is she married to, I guess, the guy who's the board of directors on the McConnell Foundation, which is interestingly enough, and accusing him of bad-mouthing her, saying she's too old and all this. Now, this sounds like an exact same kind of a tactic, only it doesn't have a sexual innuendo that they did to the Supreme Court. Accuse somebody of something that they can't fight back on because there's no proof of any evidence. And then I went through her Twitter page, and you know something? She's so far left of left that, I invite anybody to go on her Twitter page and take a look at who supports her. So
yeah, but that's what they've been doing all along with this recall, is coming up with stuff with nothing to back anything that they say. There's no way that they have any evidence because it hasn't even gone anywhere since he's been in office.
You know, and they said as much early on. They said, you know, they would rather try to get me, but I'm too difficult to obtain. And they simply are going after District 1 because it is the easier district to accomplish a recall. We knew that when we were going after Leonard Modi, that District 1 would be the easiest and we put that towards the rear.
But he wasn't the guy that needed to, District.
He wasn't the worst offender.
No,
Modi
needed
a couple
to go.
Of
that was a rough deal. I was involved in that quite a bit.
But I want to go back. We all were in that one, but it was very.
I want to go back to the local control thing, because in their ads they say that because of Reverge Anselmo, we're not going to keep local control here. But at the same time they're talking about if they are successful on the recall of Kevin, that the governor then gets to appoint a Democrat. Now, how does that even reconcile with anybody with a thinking brain to say that that's retaining local control?
Forget they wrote a letter, and the governor's going to look at their letter and go by what they want.
Who
wrote
a letter?
That.
And the truth about it is that any money that's put into a PAC, at that point, Reverge Anselmo has no control over that whatsoever. That money could go to a Green Party or a candidate. It could go anywhere. He has no control, and he's never asked or wanted anything for it. So it has nothing to do with Mr. Anselmo. It has everything to do with having a small conservative PAC that's going to support candidates and issues of a conservative nature. The group that's complaining the loudest are the ultra left, and that's the facts. But they have to try to twist it. You'll see those ads coming out now, and they're trying to blame Mr. Anselmo. And the reality is, it has nothing to do with him. They're trying to recall Kevin Cry when he didn't do anything wrong other than being a good conservative.
And to your point there, I know for a fact that he has never called the PAC and said, hey, here's the strings attached to the money that I'm giving to the PAC. I want to report. I want to know everything. I want to be in control where this money goes.
Right. He's not like
that. He's never contacted the PAC.
Right. And he's given so much money around the country, and he doesn't call him up and ask him for anything. He supports what he sees is good. And that's the way that it is. And they just want to twist it, and they want to lie.
Yep.
And create, you know, fabrication. I believe, though, the public is going to be seen through this. They know Kevin is a hard worker. I've known quite a few supervisors over the years, and I think Kevin is the hardest worker that I've seen in a long time. He does his homework. He gets out there. He's up early, and he goes to bed late, and he's constantly working on behalf of the residents of Shasta County. You're getting a lot of value from Chairman Cry.
Yeah, it's, you know, I hate to get started on, you know, I go to these board meetings, and I just see these guys. They are just, I mean, they will twist. They will do anything they can to obfuscate anybody else's rights, you know, and they're the loudest in the room, shouting, holding up signs, you know, and they lie about everything.
Now, if you give them everything they want, then they'll stop, right? But you would have to give them every single thing that they wanted, no matter what. And the bottom line is they have a hard time saying that they're liberal. They just can't admit to it. They have a problem. I'm a Republican. A conservative Republican, that's easy to say. I don't have to say it because people know it, but they can't say they're liberal because I think it's a disease.
Well, what they really can't say is they're communists because they're really Marxist. And I think that there's some of them that might even know that, but I don't think most of them even know what they are because they've never studied any economic systems. They've never studied any political systems. Most of them, I mean, even the one guy that's a teacher up there, he goes up there and says stuff, and I'm just like, you're a teacher? You have no... I mean, where did you get taught, you know, from?
You know, and over the years, I've learned very quickly, you're not going to please everyone.
No.
So I've tried to be very clear about my thinking and my stances on certain issues, and either people are going to like it or not. They're either going to vote for me or not. They'll know clearly where I stand. And I think that's where we're at today. You can't play both sides. It doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. Stay true to your beliefs and carry them out, and either you stay in office or you don't, and I'm fine with that. I just need a fair election is all I need.
Right.
Well, yeah, we want to talk about that a little bit, too, but go ahead.
There is a question in the chat room. It says, Patrick said he achieved term limits in one of his commercials. Can he explain that?
So Supervisor Kellstrom introduced a policy to enact two terms. That goes to the voters on March 5th. I supported that, and I will abide by that. Now, I could, this term doesn't apply to that, so I could run two more times. I do not plan on doing that. I plan on running just this one more time, and that's it.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. I've also given up, you know, and I don't bring this up very much, but not only on my years on city council did I turn down the CalPERS retirement, but I turned down the lifetime medical package, and I've turned down the CalPERS again at the county. I've saved the county, I've saved the taxpayers of Shasta County now over $500,000, and I encourage the others to do that. I know Supervisor Kellstrom has done that same thing as well. And so when they want to talk about, you know, trying to pass, you know, or terminating impact fees, and it might be a gain of $20,000 to me. That's nothing compared to what I've saved Shasta County. And I've already invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in a project where $20,000 is meaningless in the big picture. But $500,000 is substantial.
Right.
Well, you know, when we talk about money and we talk about the vote, I want to start with the money, and then we'll get to the vote. The money, I think that if we want to stop this problem, I think you had a suggestion not too long, I don't know, a year or so ago, I heard you say it, is that why don't we just limit all the campaigns to a certain amount of money,
$50,000
or $20,000, whatever it is.
I did bring that up. I would love to just limit everybody to a small amount and then let us run on ideas, and I think the debates and forums would be much more powerful. But unfortunately, under state law, PACs and unions are exempt. So there's no way where we would tie our hands behind the backs. And so, you know, when they did some campaign finance reform a few years ago, people were saying, oh, it's going to be great now. And I said, there's no way Sacramento is going to cut their own throat with the PACs. And they didn't. They still control it all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what really this is all about. This is about control across the board. We all know it. They know it. We know it. We know that they know it, like you say before. And we talked about that with the voting and the cheating. But, you know, when we go back to the reverse Anselmo money, it's always about not, you know, what you, it's like if we don't try to compete at all. I mean, we're fortunate that we have somebody that's helping the conservatives in the county, but they never mention the fact that, you know, like, the, you know, the last election with between Cry and Reznor, and four or five candidates were getting money from Sierra Forward, and Sierra Forward was getting
Shasta Forward, wasn't it?
Shasta Forward was their outfit was getting money from Sierra Forward,
right.
And Sierra Forward. If you look that up, they're supporting. I just looked it up the other day. They're supporting Adam Schiff for one. I mean, gee, Adam Schiff. He's not a left wing guy, is he?
Right.
So all these guys that say that they're conservatives are not conservatives if they're being supported by somebody from the left, and they put in tons of money from these guys. So we get this divergence, if you will, of ideals that one person says they're a conservative and they are being supported by absolute leftists and liberals, and then anybody else who gets supported from any place else is somehow you know, the devil because they're taking money from outside
sources.
Yeah,
but they never reveal that a lot of them get some of their funding outside sources out of the state that are running right now.
And does anybody believe that everybody on the board is conservative? I mean, what's your opinion? Do you think that everybody on the board and everybody in the county that says that they're a conservative Republican is really a conservative Republican?
Yes.
I told you all politicians are liars.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, you segued right into what I wanted to talk about. There's no way Mary Rickard is a conservative. And I want to give you an example I don't think many people are aware of. The people that are trying to recall Kevin had an online auction, and Mary Rickard donated a quarter of a beef to be auctioned off for that. I think that's one of the most slovenly things I've ever seen. Besides her claiming to be a conservative, she's on a five-member team up there, and I can't think of any other way you could undermine a fellow team member than that.
Well, also, sorry, Patrick, did you see that she's charging $250 a plate for a fundraiser?
Yeah, and I'll bet she's giving herself a discount on the beef, probably donating it.
Right.
Well, it's probably grade A beef.
She is just, you know, and then you've got Tim. I'm sure that Patrick remembers the guy that, what's his name, Urson Russell, that got after Tim claiming that he's a Republican. And, boy, he was so well-spoken putting Tim and Mary in their place. And when he sat down, oh, Tim, he was about like a third grader making up excuses.
Well,
remember that, Patrick?
Yeah, and the reality is, you know, people come up and they say, you know, I'm a conservative Republican, and you don't have to say that. We would already know that if it was true. If you have to keep saying that, it's not true. Supervisor Rickert constantly has to try to defend her actions, and she's constantly saying she's a Republican when her actions don't speak it. And those are the worst type of people, in my opinion, because they're not being honest to the people in their district. You know, when I served on Reading City Council, we had Francie Sullivan, a liberal Democrat. And her votes reflected that. And I couldn't agree with anything she had to say. However, at least she had some integrity and was in the right party and didn't lie about it.
Well, see, what these guys do is sound bites. The reason that Mary gets up there and says that she's a conservative over and over and over again is because the media is going to pick that up. And then that goes out to the voters, because we've got a lot of voters out there that are low information, lazy voters. And they hear, oh, she's a Republican, or you run as a Republican. They just assume that they're Republicans because why would anybody lie about it?
I agree.
Right. Or God forbid you got in there previously and somebody has name recognition. There was the tale of the guy who he kept running in California for some position or another, kept losing and changed his last name to Brown. And what do you know? He gets elected.
I want to talk a little.
Do we want to go to our caller or wait till after the break?
Let's go to our caller here. I want to mention this, though. really quickly on the on the tactics that we've seen lately, and it's, and we'll go to this last vote on the impact fees.
Oh,
the tactics that we've seen lately is that we need more information, we need experts, we need this and that. And I mean, you can get an expert on any subject to say two different things, you know, depending on who you go to on the experts. But isn't this just a way of delaying and stalling the vote so that nothing gets done?
You know, with regards to Tim Garmin saying that, he may need more information because he doesn't have the experience. But Mary Rickert does have the experience, and she knows darn well that reducing impact fees that are obviously too high will stifle growth. So it's hard to know when they're being honest, but it's just a tactic to try to slow it down, to apply pressure wherever they can. Now, we're not falling for it. I can't hardly stand having all these sub-side committees on something that we were elected to do. That's what you elected us mm-hmm. to do. Let's make a decision, move forward, move on. We got a lot accomplished last year. I think we're going to accomplish a lot this year. I think these 2 years you're going to see some great things. We just got to keep Kevin in there. I'm certainly not shocked at any of the tactics that people use anymore.
Right.
But people, I think, are seeing through it. I've got just a very good feeling that people are recognizing these guys are just trying to take control of the board.
I think that is the beauty of free speech. You know, I used to want to just shut these guys down and make them shut up, but I think the real answer is what the founding fathers wanted everybody to have free speech no matter what. They don't want you to have free speech. That's why they're constantly interrupting anybody that they disagree with at the meeting. But I think you have to have in the marketplace of ideas an exposure to all sides so that, because the real deal is if you shut down free speech, you don't just shut down my free speech, you shut down everybody's free speech. So everybody's got to be able to get up there and say something so that people can sort out what's real and what's not and analyze things for themselves.
And they usually hang themselves. And with that, I think we have to go to a break. Hang on, John. We will catch you on the other side. We'll see you in about 5.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Until your sidekick, as the hilarious comedian Ginger Billy, takes the stage at Wind River Resort and Casino on Friday, February 9th. With over 11 million followers on YouTube, Ginger Billy has taken the internet by storm with his side-splitting humor and down-to-earth charm. Don't miss this hysterical night of comedy. His relatable humor will have you rolling in the aisles. Tickets for this night of laughter start at just $35 plus fees. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of AJ Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Last 5 Years, written and composed by Jason Robert Brown, directed by Lauren Stanfield with musical director Cheyenne Hara. This musical chronicles the 5-year relationship of a couple with a unique narrative perspective of each character revealing their experiences in opposite chronological order. Tickets available at Riverfront. riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store, Reading, and at the door. The last 5 years, January 26th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
I thought I got that out of there. Sorry.
You will be severely punished.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, thank at least you. It didn't go any further.
I know. I thought I avoided all of that. I'm sorry.
It's a difficult thing sometimes.
I did.
When you cut and paste sometimes.
Way to go, Mark.
I'm sorry.
All right. With that.
I'm going fishing.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You got to listen to the rest of it. It's
I think
pretty
I was
good.
Just thrown under the bus.
You know, and the problem with that song is there's no money in the bank, so I don't think
that's true. Good point. No
that's
money
true.
In the bank.
It's true.
Yeah. And right. With that, we'll go to our first caller. We've got John on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I just wanted to
let you know that I am a Republican, and I can prove it to you by giving you my Republican registration card.
Why, thank you, John.
Well, I'll trade you my white supremacist card, and maybe somebody will be, able to use it because it's just not working for me.
Why is it that these fake patriots always have to point out the fact that they're a true fiscal conservative and a true... It kind of reminds me of when someone says, trust me. You know, why should someone have to tell you... I mean, a real patriot gets up there and says what needs to be said. They don't have to point out, this is who I am and this is what a party I'm affiliated with. What a freaking joke. So I wanted to just talk about the Reverge Ensemble issue is, you know, for people that think that he's got any control over anything that happens in Shasta County is a complete joke, but they want to talk about, I want to point out the hypocrisy. They want to talk about losing local control, okay? So let's talk about District 1, okay? For Kevin Cry, you got to be in District 1 to vote for him. You have to be in District 1 to recall him, okay? And, oh, yeah, by the way, 3.5% error rate on the petitions. Nobody's been able to verify that other than Joanna. But anyways, I guess we just have to trust the system. So anyways, my point was, after, Modi got recalled, there was an AB 2582 that was put forward here in California, which removed the, our ability, we the people's ability to recall, I'm sorry, to, pick the next person. If there was an absence with the Board of Supervisor, they took our ability away to pick the next person, and then they came out with government code 25060, where it says, in an absence of a Board of Supervisor position, the governor shall appoint. And we still have people on the left that, I mean, and I'm going to call out the people that claim to be Republicans too, but the opposition, they are actually making claims that they're still saying the governor is not going to appoint. Now, when they were running this whole recall against Kevin Cry and having people sign the petitions, the outright lies about not having hand-counted Secretary of State-approved methods, which are already there. That's how we audit it. That's how they've had to redo and audit elections that were very close. There was already that. They lied about that. They lied about how much money it was going to take to hand-count. They lied about how many extra staff members they were going to need, and they want to talk about losing local control. And now we're going to have a governor appoint the next supervisor if they successfully recall Kevin Cry, which, I mean, if you want to look at the real problem, it's not Rivera's. It's government overreach.
So I guess if Governor Newsom, who's a hard left, appoints a hard left person into that board of position, that's not losing local control, right? Because these people not only lie, they lie about everything, and they lie often, and anything you that comes out of their mouth you can count on is either gaslighting you or just an out-and-out bunch of BS. And that's the conclusion I've come to, is that it doesn't matter. You can examine anything that these people say in this local Marxist meathead community that's always at the Board of Supervisors meeting, who wants to circumvent everybody's rights but theirs, you know, then that's where you're at. That's all you got to know. Because the rest of it is that if they say that they want to keep local control because you're receiving outside money, but it's okay for the governor, who's a Democrat, to appoint in a conservative district their board of supervisors, that's okay, because that's keeping local control, right?
Well, and you know, the one thing I think that's going to backfire a bit on this is that because the public knows now that they do not get to select a replacement, and they know that the governor will, that's going to be, you know, that's counterproductive to what they were attempting to do when they changed the law. They were going to try to make it more difficult, and now they're making it more difficult when they really didn't want to, right? They should have left it alone. The public then would have had an easier chance of selecting it. So this may backfire on them. I think it will. I think people are going to see through it. Kevin's done a good job. It's nothing to do with Kevin. It has everything to do with getting back control that they lost starting January 1st, 2023.
Yeah, because isn't that what's happening in Tehama County? Did I hear that correctly this morning, that for the appointment that they suggested, like, six different people to the governor, and the governor said no, that because they weren't Democrats? Is that correct?
Well, it wasn't that county, I don't believe, but it was other counties, and he wouldn't because, and he, if you look up and down the state, he has appointed when he wanted to, and then when there was no reason to, being a Republican, he wouldn't do it. So he will on this one. We've certainly made enough news, both state and national and international news, that if there was a successful recall, he would appoint very quickly, and then you would see them attempt to undo everything that we've done in 2023 and before.
Right. I think we lost John, but
thanks for calling in, John. We appreciate it. We'll go to our next caller, Richard. Good morning, Richard. Are you there?
I'm Robert.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the name wrong on the board.
And
Will,
like
Robert,
calling,
hello.
Hello. Have you got me?
Yep, we got you.
All right. Listen, I'm not calling in. I know this is a beef session, but I'm not talking about Mary's side of beef. I have a beef about Mary, Kathy Ellen Darling. I was wondering how she ever got elected with her viewpoints. And, you know, most people, when you look at the ballot, they have R or a D by their name, or it at least tells what they're independent and what they stand for, and they, so you know what you're voting for. I was wondering how she initially got voted.
She said she was Republican, but I can tell you right now she got elected looking at the campaign finance stuff.
Well, that's a fraudulent, that's being fraudulent right there. You know,
well, but she
elected.
Funded her own campaign, Robert. She funded, yeah. It was
she
like
counted her own vote.
Well, there was nobody running.
The ballot there was, back at, when she first got elected.
There was nobody running against her.
Down,
there was nobody running against her, and she funded her own campaign.
In the beginning.
Well, what a shame we weren't on that. Anyway, I just thought that you know, they ought to change that. She ought to have to put down D or R by her name, because I don't think that the election would come out the same.
Well, in a lot of Robert, a lot of these races, we don't have to do that, and in fact, I don't think we can. The supervisors is nonpartisan. The sheriff is nonpartisan, so we don't put that. But we do have a pretty good description of what we stand for, that you should get a pretty good idea, as long as people are being honest, which obviously is a tough thing to determine.
Well, and you got to do a little research and go past the rhetoric and the public speeches, because according to Joe, he's there to protect and defend the Constitution. And if you listen to him, he wants to uphold the Constitution and the borders closed down. These guys lie about everything. They don't want to protect and defend the Constitution. What they want is power. And if it suits their power base to tell you that they're a Republican or a conservative, that's what they do.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's all I wanted to say.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Time. Bye. Bye.
I just can't believe that she well, because she counted her own votes and everything the last election.
Well, that was Kathy. That was ROV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Rickard, I thought.
Well, I
thought both.
It's hard to keep them square anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought we were talking about Rickard. Were we talking about Kathy, darling?
Before I go, because I do have to leave here fairly soon, I did want to bring people's attention that here in California there was a court case last year where Dominion was sued and they lost in court and they had to reverse the decisions. They had vote flipped in, I believe, Oakland County. And that is an actual court case. And come to find out, there's 1,000 of them like that all over the country.
There is.
But when you Google it, if you use Google, as the ROV has asked me to do,
Scroogle.
You won't find any of that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
And you won't find it. So shocking. Now we're seeing something come out of Georgia, which we've always known there was big troubles in Georgia. And now we're starting to find out about the fraudulent activity that has been happening in Georgia. And, you know, maybe that's the case to start introducing evidence into court finally to show fraud. People have said, hey, don't use that word, but it is what it is. It's fraud. And I believe there's probably not a county in the United States that hasn't had to deal with it in one form or the other for about 20 years.
Yeah, I agree. And there's lots of different ways to cheat, and they've tried to use all of them, I think. On this last presidential election, they used everything in the book, I think, to get the right votes to count to show that Biden won. And there's so much evidence, it's ridiculous. I'm so, there's no evidence. You know, that's ridiculous. It's stupid.
I think we have a couple callers, I'm not sure. Yeah, that one.
And I did want to, before I leave, I just wanted to remind everybody that I am having my last and final fundraiser. We had one already, and it turned out great. It was awesome. Lots of great people raised a lot of money. February 23rd, I believe it's a Friday, and it'll be at the Anderson VFW. Doors open at 4. It starts at 6. For tickets, you can come by and see me at 1600 East Cypress or give me a call, 530-222-3223. Lots of great prizes, guns, trips, all that kind of stuff. And it'll be kind of my final push to get me through and get me back where I need to be.
All right. Cool. With that, we'll go to Stone. Good morning, Stone.
Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day out, aside from the spring in the skies. You know what? One of your callers was mentioning something about the Constitution, and this relates to local, of course. So there's a constitutional confrontation happening in Texas with the governor and National Guardsmen protecting the border and 25 other states assisting Texas with civilian and National Guard troops, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not a small matter, right? This is probably unprecedented in our country's history, states coming together to nullify unconstitutional state or government federal laws, edicts, whatever you want to call it. And I hope this translates down to the local level soon. It needs to happen right away, where county boards of supervisors also consider nullifying unconstitutional state laws, state edicts, state everything, because we're way past due for this. For a brave county board of supervisors to say, nope, not doing it. As a matter of fact, we're going to do our own thing. And this, of course, relates to my idea of separating the ballots, separate ballot for local and county races, period. Separate voter rolls, period. Separate hand counting, period. And can I say period, period, period? So what's happening in Texas is going to spread. And I hope, again, it spreads to the local level. It needs to happen. And so anyways, there's a lot going on that will filter down. And I hope we can see some actions like that locally.
Well, you know, I'm always at a it always amazes me how we hear a lot of these idiots say, "Oh, you got to follow state law because state law, you know, they can get rid of your constitutional carry and all this stuff." But which law are we supposed to follow? Which is the supreme law of the land? Is the Bill of Rights the law, or is that they can just make any law they want to circumvent the Constitution the law?
Well, in Stones, I would agree with you, Stones, that, you know, with this Shasta County Election Commission, I believe that will be taken up, along with many other things taken up and pushed over to the board for approval. And so I expect a lot of good things this year. We're not going to sit back and be idle. We're going to move forward. And, you know, elections are one of the one of the more important issues that it must get solved. And I'm appreciative of everybody that's worked so hard in this county to work with us on that, including yourself. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And then just one last quick comparison, then I'll go. You know, last year, Sheriff Johnson, when the 2A resolution was passed, he said you have to follow state law. You're going to be arrested if you don't follow state law. Well, gee, now all of a sudden this year, he is claiming, what is his constitutional right to say, no, these new SB 2 laws are unconstitutional and we will not enforce them. Unfortunately, he gets zero credit because he's only doing it because the Sheriff's Association has pushed this. So no credit for Mr. Johnson. He's only doing it because he's pressured. However, it's still the right thing to do. And government officials, county boards of supervisors, city council, election commission members, anybody that is in government position of authority that has taken the oath of office, they have that same exact authority to nullify and not comply against what they believe. You don't have to wait for a judge. What you believe that's unconstitutional.
Well,
thanks for the time, folks. Have a good day.
All right, thanks a lot.
They say politics makes strange bedfellows, and you know, the more you learn, the more you figure out that that's so on the spot true that you can't even make it up. Let's go to our caller.
All right, are you there, Dick? Hello. Good morning, Dick.
You're on the air, Dick.
Oh, okay. I want to look at this Kevin Cry recall in a little different angle here. You know, in the state of California, every method of cheating is in place. And in Shasta County, every method of cheating was in place. Well, Kevin Cry voted with two other supervisors to get rid of the machines. And right away, there was a recall. And he wasn't in office very long, all of a sudden, a recall. And the way I look at it, anybody who wants to recall Kevin Cry, they want to maintain every method of cheating. They don't like that we lost one of them because of possibly them hacking their machines. So anyway, that's the way I look at it. Anybody who wants to recall Kevin Cry wants to maintain every level of cheating that's in place in California and not get rid of any of them. And getting rid of the machines sort of eliminates one of them maybe. And that's the way I look at it, that anybody wants to recall him, want to keep cheating.
That's a good point. And, you know, to me it seems fairly obvious that this is fairly close right down party lines. We see conservative policies being set and liberals really wanting the control back that they've had. And to me that's what it's about. And cheating apparently is just part of the normal anymore. It is kind of shocking when you start seeing and really digging into some of these election issues, like the voter rolls, like what Dr. Frank just showed in December. Unbelievable is the word that this has been going on for that length of time. And but we're not going to stop. We're going to keep moving forward no matter what. And eventually, I think we're going to prevail here in Shasta County and maybe show the rest of the country how to do it.
You know, every elected official is not going to satisfy every voter. There's always, no matter who's elected official, not everybody's going to be happy with them. But right now, a lot of people are happy with the three conservatives and the board of supervisors. And a lot of people are totally dissatisfied with them. That's normal, you know.
Yeah.
But one elected official that I'd like to mention, Doug LaMalfa, I see him more than any elected official we have. He comes to our city a lot of times, and he attends a lot of events. And no matter what you think about Doug LaMalfa, he shows up here a lot. Now Brand Dolly, he only shows up when he's running for re-election. Otherwise, he never steps foot in our county ever. But Doug LaMalfa does come here a lot. Anyway, I just want to put in a plug for him.
Thank you, Dick. Yeah, no, Doug, I've known Doug since 2002 when he first run and won a seat in the Assembly. He was very visible here in the 1st District for the Assembly, also in the Senate and in Congress. He has traveled and put a ton of miles on. He's done that extremely well. You know, I can agree with many of his decisions. There's been a few that I would have liked to have seen differently. But at the end of the day, either you're going to have a Democrat or Doug LaMalfa. So I say keep Doug LaMalfa.
For now. Because everybody knows that Doug LaMalfa is not my favorite politician, but he's better than the alternative at this point. Well, and, you know, the real deal is that you're not going to agree with every politician on everything.
That's right.
And
no matter who's in there, Mark, you're not going to agree with everything they do.
But I don't give them a pass either. The point is that when you think they're doing something wrong, you let them know it. And that's what keeps them in line. So it's not a friendship or a miles traveled thing. It's a pressure on the politicians to do the right thing and the will of the public.
Right. And some of the things that you disagreed with, a lot of other people agreed with it. So we can't satisfy everybody.
Well, yeah, but when you start passing these budgets where we're going trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars down the hole, the Republican Congress is, at this point in my time, complicit in the bankruptcy of the country. And they need to do something about this because we're not too far off from a big problem.
I know. It's coming. It's coming pretty quick, I think.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Dick. We do have another caller.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. Mark, are you there? Good morning, Mark. Mark, you're on.
We do have another caller.
Yeah.
Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, he is. Looks like
I am here. How you guys? How you doing?
Good. Doing good.
Somebody needs to shut off their busy signal.
What can we do for you?
Hey, I just wanted to give you a quick update on the Second Amendment deal. First thing is we're having the fundraiser on March 2nd, as you know, but the venue was changed from the new Wairika High School gym to the old one, and they're right next door, and I'll bring a new flyer down first couple days next week. But in addition to that, we've had some news. We think that the Ninth Circuit is going to announce the panel of judges in the scheduling for argument on the appeal to the Second Amendment case. So everybody pray, because if we get the same panel of judges we had before, we stand a very good chance of getting a unanimous decision in favor of the Second Amendment.
Who's announcing it and who's choosing it? That's my question, because if they choose the same panel, we're in good shape. But can they mix the panel up again? I mean, because I don't trust these guys as far as I can throw them.
Well, as I've said a million times, all courts are corrupt because the judges know who pay them. But in the state of California, the Ninth Circuit certainly knows who they're in league with. But there is a lot of precedent for going back to the same panel that's already been briefed on the case, and that's called a callback or a take-back case. So if a panel has heard a case and it goes to a different court, and then for some reason it comes back to that court, in the Southern District, Judge Benitez, they've given him five cases that he already declared unconstitutional once. And when they remanded after the Bruin decision, he got all five of them back.
It sounds like a prayer could be in order.
A prayer is in order, but we can get a unanimous decision in favor of liberty and the Second Amendment out of this. And just to clarify, our case has to deal with open carry. The state is trying to conflate the case. So that, and they call it public carry, you know, their argument is, since the state of California allows concealed carry, you don't need the right to open carry. And that's how they conflate this. And they don't call it open or concealed. They call it public carry. So if the state allows one form of public carry, then you don't need another form of public carry.
Well, listen, Mark, we're almost out of time, Mark, so we've probably got to go. If you want to call back in the second hour, that's fine. I want to give Pat the last couple of minutes here. He's going to have to leave, so.
Yeah, and so, thanks, Mark, and I really appreciate, Mark, what he's been doing there. That's 5 years worth of work. It's such an important case. It really can make things a whole bunch better. He's put everything on the line. That's a real patriot there, and if we had more of him, we wouldn't be in the shape that we're at, so. Thank you, Mark Baird. You know, for myself, we're running a good campaign. We're staying focused on the issues, and we're getting our message out. And I encourage everyone to get out March 5th, get the vote out, and hopefully we can keep the cheating to a minimum. And again, if anybody would like to get a hold of me, I'm easily found at my office on the east side at 1600 East Cypress. You can always give me a call. You can look up my website. And most people know I've been around a long time. I have lots of experience. We've got a great board right now. I'd like to see that going forward. We have really a solid conservative board for the first time in a long time, and we're getting things done. We're working hard for the public, and I'm proud. I'm proud of the guys, at least the majority. I'm proud of the work that we're doing, and I don't say that very often about government, but we're making some changes, we're making a difference, and I'd like to keep that going.
We need everybody to get out and vote. You can't be complacent about this. You got to get out and show up to the polls.
Really, real quick, what's your two top issues, important issues?
Well, right now, it's obviously moving forward on the jail, and continue to reduce fees and regulations is going to be the theme for 2024.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Alrighty, guys.
We'll try to have you back. But have a great day.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right.
All right.
I think we're just about ready to take our hard break. So we will be back in about 5 minutes.
There you go.
All right.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Biden has announced that 3 American troopers have been killed and many more were wounded in a drone strike in Jordan. Iran-backed militia groups apparently to be blamed. Those 3 soldiers were the first U.S. fatalities in months of attacks on American forces all across the Middle East. House Republicans releasing 2 articles of impeachment this morning against Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas. They say that he has failed to manage the U.S. border properly and has a breach of the public trust. President Biden publicly urging Congress to vote for a bipartisan Senate deal on the border.
The president has weighed in on proposed legislation that he said would be the toughest and fairest set of reforms to secure the border ever. He also pledged to use a new emergency authority to shut down the border as soon as he could sign it into law. But House Speaker Mike Johnson suggested the compromise could be dead on arrival in his chamber. The White House is seeking $110 billion in emergency funding for Ukraine, Israel, and immigration enforcement, while Republicans are demanding changes in border policy. Greg Clugston reporting.
Members of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees were involved in the Hamas attack.
The head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, or UNRWA, said it has fired a number of its staffers in Gaza, suspected of taking part in the October 7th attack by Hamas on Israel. Relations prompted the United States, Britain, Italy, Finland, Australia, and Canada to temporarily halt their funding. Van Dujarric, the spokesperson for the UN Secretary-General, said appropriate action will be taken against anyone found guilty, but said innocent Palestinian civilians will die if they do not receive much-needed aid. The U.S. State Department said there were allegations against 12 employees. I'm Karen Chamas.
More on these stories at Town Hall.
The new FedNow system is paving the way for the digital dollar. It grants the government unprecedented access to your financial transactions. This isn't just an invasion of privacy. It's a direct assault on your liberty and hard-earned money. It's another reason why I recommend physical gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst and a podcaster with nearly 25 million downloads to people just like you who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Big Brother while also preserving your retirement savings through almost anything, including economic crashes, political instability, and even hyperinflation. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. Remember, there's no strings attached. Text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you're blessed with continued prosperity.
California is now in the grips of an outbreak of avian flu that's leading to the slaughter of chickens. And that is going to drive egg prices in the Golden State up, 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 and in other places too, perhaps. Correspondent Jackie Quinn has more on the story.
Those are chickens from a farm unaffected, but at Mike Weber's Sunrise Farms in Sonoma County, California.
Over 500,000 birds on this ranch, and all of them had to be euthanized.
California had escaped the ravages of this latest outbreak that started hitting the Midwest in early 2022. But Bill Mattos, the head of the California Poultry Federation, says the virus is being spread by migratory birds.
The duck season is now. They're flying through California, and that's where we get this strain of bird flu.
The state veterinarian is telling poultry farmers, keep their flocks indoors until June. I'm Jackie Quinn.
This is townhall.com. A stolen painting has been returned to its owners.
An 18th century British painting stolen by mobsters in 1969 has been returned more than a half century later to the family that bought the painting during the Great Depression. The Schoolmistress by John Opie is the sister painting of a similar work housed in the Tate Britain Art Gallery in London. FBI's Salt Lake City field office announced Friday that it was returned to the son of a New Jersey doctor who originally bought it for $7,500. Opie was a British historical and portrait painter who portrayed many people, including British royals. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, January the 28th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Alan Alda. He is 88 years old. Singer Sarah McLachlan is 56. Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett has 52 candles on her birthday cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Black people can't get voter ID. They don't have Wi-Fi like you and me. I call all Hispanic people it takes, and you ain't black if you don't vote for me. Trump will put your back in chains. I left the shower with my daughter to this very day. My son Hunter is a good kid. He is a genius. Throw guns in the trash and Skittles on his. You can't go to a Dunkin' Donuts or even a 7-Eleven unless you have just the slightest of an Indian accent. I do not want my children growing up in the racial jungle and sharing a bus. I'm so sad that they closed Toys R Us. And I really miss Robert Byrd, he was my bud. I love Smith and Children. I love Hillary Clinton. I love spending billions of your tax dollars drawing, striking buildings. Open up the border and let in the fentanyl. If you change your gender, we'll promote you to general. Want to work for senators, expose all your genitals. The girls were Stephen Hawking, always ate all their vegetables. You can't go to
That's a new one from Hi-Rez. I had to play it. It's just too good.
Unfortunately,
Joe Biden at his best. Let's get the town hall here, and then we'll get to our guest here and introduce him. But here we go.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local update. First up, in divisive votes, Shasta County Supervisor suspended impact fees funding key projects, hoping to spur growth, though critics argue infrastructure is now jeopardized. Supervisors also rejected Senate Bill 2's strict concealed carry limits, citing defending constitutional freedoms, though opponents worried about risks and disregarding state law without consulting unions. Complex issues leave the community at a crossroads over economic gains versus public safety and personal liberties. Through respectful dialogue, shared wisdom, and compromise show the path ahead. Next up, after 4 years of planning, the city of Shasta Lake recently broke ground on Cascade Village, a $36.5 million downtown revitalization project funded publicly and privately. This modern mixed-use complex will feature 49 affordable housing units representing a reimagined future for this historical community. City Manager Jessica Lugo explained that infrastructure investments like this enable growth, with residents playing a key role in planning the project to benefit the community. Developer K2 aims to encourage further investment and breathe new life along Shasta Dam Boulevard with this transformative development that sets an example for motivating additional projects in Shasta Lake. For our last brief, a public service announcement. The Shasta County Republican Central Committee proudly endorses Daniel Sloan, District 2, Wynn Carpenter, District 3, and Patrick Jones, District 4, for County Supervisor. These candidates demonstrate Republican principles and dedication to the county's well-being. The committee strongly urges no on the Supervisor Cry recall and support for Donald Trump. The Shasta County Republican Central Committee encourages all Shasta County voters across the political spectrum to support our endorsed candidates embodying community values and leadership that will contribute to the continued success of our county. The California Rifle and Pistol Association endorses Wynn Carpenter for District 3 Supervisor and Patrick Jones for District 4 Supervisor. Upcoming local election events. Wednesday, January 31st at 6 p.m., League of Women Voters debate for all supervisor candidates at Larry J. Farr Community Center. Candidate Wynn Carpenter, Shasta County Supervisor, District 3, has a town hall meeting scheduled on Friday, February 2nd at 6 p.m. at the Palisadro Grange located at 22037 Old 44 Drive, Palisadro. Candidate Dan Sloan, Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, town halls are scheduled for Sunday, February 4th at the Igo Inn from 4 to 6 p.m. located at 13976 South Fork Road, Igo. On Wednesday, February 7th at 6 p.m. at the French Gulch Hotel located at 14138 Main Street, French Gulch. And on Monday, February 12th at 6 p.m. in the Bonneview area located at 2570 South Bonneview Road in Reading. For additional town hall meeting and event scheduling, visit the candidates' websites. Thank you for listening to your town hall brief this week. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Formerly Twitter. So let's introduce our guest. We've got Corky Harmon here today.
We do.
And he's running for District 3. Maybe you could, I think we've met before somewhere. I'm trying to remember where, though.
We have. I can't remember either.
Yeah. I know, I don't forget a face too often. I forget names pretty easy, but I don't forget faces very much. Anyway, you're running for District 3 against, Rickard and Carpenter.
Yes.
And, so give us a little bit of a background on what you're doing, why you're doing it, you know, who you are and why you think you're going to be a great supervisor.
Well, I'm a lifetime resident, other than a little stint up in Montana. People want to know why did I come back from Montana.
I don't know.
I think that's a good question.
Already I'm thinking you're crazy.
I've been told that a few times. No, I've been doing business here as a businessman, and I got asked just the other day about a resume. Just pull up the last time you did a job interview. Well, I told him, I said, I don't think I've ever done a job interview. Last time I got a job was 1996 when I went to Bill Weibelhaus' house and said, and when I pulled up, I called him ahead of time. When I pulled up in his driveway, he said, you ready to go to work? I said, yep. And he said, can you be? And he gave me a location that was up in the middle of Oregon, the Ochoco Dam. And I was gone for 6 months. I left the next morning. That was my job interview. and now I'm I became the continuation plan for that company, and now I'm the owner of that company. So there's my job interview.
Well, that's how it works for me too. You know, I create my jobs. I don't go get one from somebody else.
Nice. Yes.
So what made you decide to go ahead and run for District 3?
Well, I ran for supervisor in 2010, but I was in District 5, and I was running against the incumbent.
I think that's where we met, was at a tea party meeting, I think.
Maybe.
I think that's where it was, yeah, down there at the church on Bonneview.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's where it was. Yeah, okay, good.
But anyways, I get asked that all the time. Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you crazy? Are you, you know?
Well, you have to be a little crazy to run and be a politician. I mean, that's just.
Well, that's almost fighting words right there. I am not a politician. I'm not a public speaker. I am a project manager, and I feel like this is a project that needs managed. And I think that the people need to come from the people. I've been here, like I said, you know, I've lived in the same house in Palo Cedro for, I think, around 33 years. I ran in District 5, but they moved the line.
Oh, yeah, right. I remember that whole debacle. I was actually on the district redistricting committee, and they did absolutely everything that we did say not to do.
I was a little frustrated even then that I wasn't in District 3.
Yeah.
Because I live in Palo Cedro, not too far from the golf course. But the lines meandered and went through my property. I had two parcels. My house was on the parcel that was in District 5. I owned property on the other side of the contiguous property that was District 3, but that wasn't how the rules work. So,
well,
yeah, that messed a lot of people up.
That whole thing,
that, yeah.
You know, that whole thing was a finger in the eye of everybody by Modi. That was right during when he was getting recalled. And so, you know, what he did was he put Garmin in another district. He put, you know, so it was a complete political scam. We lined up these districts, and we were on the committee, and they completely ignored us. I mean, they did everything exactly what we'd said not to do. So that's sort of a pet peeve, kind of sticks in my craw, because they spent a bunch of time and money down there for no reason. But so let's get to the issues.
What are some of your top issues that you're running on that you would like to get involved in the county level at?
Well, I shared this with Carl last time I was here, actually, and it wasn't quite out yet, but it has gotten out since then. With regard to the Mike Johnson, our sheriff, going to the California border, and I'm not making this election or this candidate run because of the California, you know, border crisis. This is a local deal, but it's going to affect us, and it's affecting everybody in the country. So my number one priority is crime. You know, backing up the blue. You know, the law enforcement. I know it's the county we're responsible for, the sheriff's department, but it involves all of them. You know, the RPD and Anderson PD, and but Mike Johnson shared with me just before that interview last time that they had 7,000 people a day coming across the two entry points and one processing center. They were processing it was 7,000 people a day. There was less than 2% were Hispanic. They're coming from all countries in the world. And the one thing that he pointed out to me that was impacted to me was that the amount of people coming in across the border amounts to pretty much our population in Shasta County in 3 months.
It's an invasion. There's no question about it. And Biden has been completely not upholding his lawful duty under the Constitution to protect our borders. And now you got this state thing with Texas and them going on. We'll see how that handles out. But let's bring it back. And go ahead. I was going to say bring it back more local. So so this would be the jail. You know, I mean, let's talk about the jail a little bit. In favor, not in favor. What do you think about the jail that's being built?
I'm in favor of the jail.
Okay. So so what do you think the answer to our crime problem in Shasta County is right now?
Well, you know, not knowing the details as far as I haven't been in there as a supervisor, and I have probably more questions than I do answers at this point. But one of my questions has been why don't we have what we had in the past, which was Crystal Creek? You remember Crystal
Creek?
Yeah,
actually, remember them closing it up. It's up there on the way to Bernie. It's off
the... Happy Valley, isn't it?
No, the other side of Whiskeytown Lake.
Well, there was one up that way, too. I thought that was Crystal Creek Boys Camp up on the left going out up that way. But then I thought that was Crystal Creek, too. I could be wrong. But then you're talking about the one that was out here by the powerhouse?
Yes.
Okay, so they closed that for lack of money and funds is what they said.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think that was doing to help the situation?
Well, you'd free up a bunch of beds in the jail that weren't high security. You know, people that were a harm to the county. You could have put the low security or
people, offenders.
Yeah, low offenses. You put them in a minimum security and keep those beds for people that are a danger to the community.
Right.
But we had that minimum security down off of, is it Breslauer?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that's at, but.
Well, now we got catch and release, and this is all part of the state's plan of, you know, they defunded, you know, basically any kind of punishment or accountability to most of the low-level criminals, and now it's absolutely off the charts across California, a massive criminal problem. We've seen less here in Shasta County because we have a little more of the local people involved in law enforcement that are doing stuff that are helping, but it's still not enough because most of these people, they go in and they're out the other side.
Yeah,
no, I understand. I'm the victim of, like a lot of people, I'm a victim of several crimes. I'm kind of out there because of the construction stuff, but I had property stolen off the ranch. And, it hit home. You know, you feel like you've been violated. And they weren't, in that case, we found out who stole my truck and trailer, and one guy got out of prison 2 weeks earlier for murder, and the other guy, they had two cases on him with Shasta County did. They were, investigating for him in a couple of deaths, murder. They haven't made a case out of it yet, but those people were on my property.
So do you think the DA's doing what she's supposed to do here in Shasta County, prosecuting these people and put them away?
I think that it's kind of like everything else. They've got so many rules and regulations and, you know, passed down from the state that it's affecting their job. I don't care who it is, we can do better. We can do better, you know.
Yeah, I'm especially concerned about our DA from the perspective. I've seen what she does in actual practice, going after some people and not others at the same time. So I have a problem with that. But let's move on. What about they just passed the impact fees this last meeting?
Yes.
And are you for or against that?
I'm for less government.
Me and you, we're on the same page on really. You know. Yeah, that's really the problem. It seems like everybody wants either more government control, more government largesse, more government this, or less. And I think that the reason our country became great is we had a lot less government, and the people were allowed to operate their businesses more freely, and we had a little more, you know, we had a lot more morality in society, which I think is a big problem.
Well, I think some people kind of get that mixed up, though. You know, some people on the left say that for smaller government, but they do everything to bring the government into our backyard.
So you would have voted with the three that were for getting rid of the impact fees?
Anything about less taxes?
Okay, good.
If you're in business like I am, and in particular, I'm in the quarry mining business. I'm in construction, in public work.
What do you mine? I'm just curious.
Mountain Gate Quarry.
Oh, quarry. Okay. Okay, got it. So you're a partial owner of Mountain Gate Quarry?
I am the owner. Yes.
Oh, wow, nice, cool. Yeah. I get rock from you guys once in a while.
Nice, thank you.
You bet.
All right.
But so I deal with. That, well, we've got two quarries, but I deal with all the regulations for that. And I am in the trucking business, so I deal with all the regulations for the trucking industry. And then I'm in construction, where I deal with just about every public agency out there. I do work for the county, the city, the state, and the federal government. So I'm quite familiar with all the processes you got to go through dealing with and I have great relationships with all the people I work with, you know, even with the county. I'm not saying I'm not frustrated with some things, but I think that what we need, you asked me why I was running for supervisor. Mm-hmm. I think a good board is a well-rounded board. I'm on a board for Creekside Counseling. They asked me to be on their board, And the first thing I said was, I don't know anything about your business. I'm not sure that I'd be a good candidate for being on your board. And they said, oh, no, that's what we want. We want diversification from the community. And all walks, you know, all types. And I got on that board, and it's been a great education for me just listening to them. I don't have a lot of input because I don't know their business. Now, when it comes to the county, I feel like we need a well diversified board as well. And my background in business allows me to deal with every regulator out there. I don't think there's any of them that I haven't dealt with, and that I don't deal with, you know, on a pretty much a daily basis.
So when you say diversified, what do you mean? What does that mean? Because it seems like we throw words around, but it means different things to different people.
Yeah.
So, what's your definition of diversified?
Well, I'm a project manager. I've spent my whole career taking on projects and taking them on from start to completion. I haven't failed at a job yet, and I hate to talk like it sounds like you're bragging, but you got to talk about yourself a little bit, which
right.
is probably the thing that's most difficult for me is talking about yourself. But it's necessary. So, you know, here I go. It's like as a project manager, we got to put together budgets, we got to put together plans, and we got to put together the right people in the right places. So if you have a background doing that, I think you're. That's what I'm talking about for diversification on the board. I'll bring to the board, if I get the job, I'll bring to the board what nobody else can bring to the board.
I see what you're saying. Okay, now I understand.
We do. We have some questions in the chat room, and then we have a caller. Let's go to our caller. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what you got for us?
I just had a question for Corky. I just want to let you know straight up, I massively respect you. I think you're a great pillar of the community. I think it's awesome you're standing up for what you believe in, but I have some serious, you know, questions. I think Wynn Carpenter is probably the most pure-hearted, most qualified
contact
person.
Contact to LaValle, Bert.
Sorry. Never mind. That was me. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry about that, John. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just don't know why you would throw your hat in the race last minute against Wynn Carpenter, who I think has probably got the most purest heart of person I've ever met in my life. I would put him like way many levels above me as far as like being a good person and more qualified than you. And I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I really don't understand. I know people will get in trouble with me. I know Lonnie support you 100%. I support you as a person and think have massive respect, but I don't know why. I feel like you're taking votes away from Wynn and making it a better possibility of Mary Rickert winning this race, where I think she's the swamp creature. I have massive respect for you and Wynn Carpenter, but I don't know. I just have, why would you throw your hat in the race last minute against Wynn Carpenter, who I think is just one of the best people I've ever met in my life?
So I met with him a couple of times, but one particular occasion was actually with Lonnie, myself, and Wynn, and we sat down and talked about it. And I don't have any issues with Wynn other than I think I'm a better candidate, and it's because of my background. I'm not a politician. I think we're sick and tired of politicians. I'm a businessman, and I'm a father, and I've got, you know, raising my grandkids, and so my biggest inspiration is wanting to give back to the community in a manner that's respectful, you know, to the wishes of the people. And that's why I picked it was Jim Pope that his his slogan was a sheriff for the people, and so I adopted the slogan supervisor for the people. In talking to Wynn, you know, I think he's a good candidate. I'm not here to get in the mud with Mary or Wynn. I'm here to, and it's really hard, but I'm trying to stay in my own corner and run as Corky Harmon for supervisor. I think Corky Harmon is the right candidate for reasons we're just talking about.
Kind of puts a damper on my next question, which is what do you think Mary's done wrong or right, and why do you want to replace her?
Well, I believe in term limits. And that's probably the biggest thing. Why do we have two term limits for the highest office in the country, our president, and we don't have term limits for any other office?
I think the board's talking about passing those term limits. I know that's been a big deal with Chris Kellstrom, and I think they're probably going to get that done. I don't think they've got it done yet, but I think they're really working on getting it done in this next round or two.
I think Patrick had touched on that a little bit earlier. I thought they did as well. I think,
but it doesn't go into effect until next year, I thought.
Oh, is that what it is?
I could be wrong.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
Somebody can clarify that. But
from my understanding of it, he was saying that he could run again based upon the fact it would not end up going into effect until after the next election cycle.
Well, I must have misunderstood. I was saying that I was, by hearing that, under the impression that they actually hadn't passed it yet. But you're saying they passed it, but it's
I do
effective.
Believe, but we'll have to get some clarification on that.
Maybe if somebody knows in the chat room.
Yeah.
But in regards to that, that definitely is something to where not just locally, but even between the convention of states, what they ended up finding out when they did a convention of states and polling between them, they ended up finding out that 60% of the states want term limits on all of these positions.
So you got any more, John, that you want to ask Corky?
Oh, no, that was the only question I had. I really hope that having two really good candidates in District 3 doesn't split the vote on the more Patriots versus the swampy Rickert, and that was my only concern. You know, I just hope that she doesn't end up winning because we have two great candidates in that district. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you,
with
John.
That, I believe we've got to go to a break, and we will pick up this conversation on the other side. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
What's it going to take for you to wake up? What's it gonna take for you to break? There's no time to make your mind up. Just to realize this is fake. What's it gonna take? What's it gonna take? What's it gonna take? What's it gonna take? Doesn't represent us at all. Government thinks it runs all our business. Big tech's about to take it all. What's it gonna take for you to wake up? What's it gonna take for you to break? There's no time to make your mind up. You just gotta realize this is all fake. What's it gonna take? What's it gonna take?
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Start your year off with a winning streak. Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our $50,000 new year, new winnings. Swipe to win draw. Swipe your free River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes. Don't miss your chance to win up to $200 free slot play every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Join us for final drawings on January 25th and February 29th for a chance to win up to $2,000 cash. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino. Oh.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
How do you like the new normal? Tell me, how is that going for you? How did you overcome the restrictions? How do you handle the news? Do you still think the government's not lying to you? Oh, here's a penny drop yet. Seems there's no way out of this impasse. Is it something we'll live to regret? Sometimes every knock is a boost. Sometimes life gets tedious, don't it? Sometimes chickens come home to roost. Sometimes it's just too ridiculous. Sometimes it's mind control amnesia. Sometimes it's memories you treasure. Sometimes it's joy you're not allowed to share. Sometimes it's no ongoing pleasure.
There you go. That's Van the Man, his new album. Well, it's not new. It's about a year old. But, yeah, he's kind of on board with this whole getting rid of too much government and too much control. Yeah, he's got a whole album on it. You know, him and Clapton have just hated it ever since the COVID thing. But
Pretty interesting.
Anyway, yeah, Jimmy, I'll have to screen that. I already got caught with my hand slapped today once on a song, so I thought I screened it, but evidently I didn't screen it well enough. I must have got distracted during the first initial part of it.
It's hard to chop them, too, and get them right. But with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Terry. Good morning, Terry. Terry, are you there?
I'm here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
It's getting scary, Terry.
Hey, I just wanted to bring something up. Corky, Wynn is not a standing politician, just so you know, because you had mentioned that you didn't want a politician as usual. He is not a politician. He's worked at jobs and in businesses all his life until he retired. He did work for the county for about 8 years, but he's not a politician. Just wanted to clarify that. You must have been talking about Mary.
No. I thought you were off for the day, Terry.
Well, I am, but I just wanted to point that out. I mean, I know that you didn't, you know, I just wanted to point that out. The one other thing I wanted to point out was the fact that in running, at this point, there's three people that are running. You and Wynn will probably go after the same votes, both being conservatives. Mary will get her people that will support her. And Mary, at the last supervisor meeting, was confronted on something she said on Carl Bott's show, and that was that if, in fact, she does retire or she does quit, and she had threatened to do that in the face of recall a couple of years ago, and she had mentioned it once again at the Board of Supervisor meeting, that she would just quit, and then Gavin Newsom could appoint her successor. Now, she said that. Now, if that's the case, then, and she does win because the vote split, then we could end up with a far-left person appointed by the governor, because he has the jurisdiction to do that now, as our supervisor. I guess my question is, and I agree with John, I mean, I think you're a good man. I think that both of you are good men. I think we have to clarify on who people really are, and what they've done and what their background is, and be clear on that. I think that's fair. But when you look at someone like Mary, who has already threatened to say basically she's going to retire, and when she does, Newsom will appoint, that sort of would be sticking the finger in the eye of the people of Shasta County. And even though you're running in one district, you count as not only 20% of what happens in our county, but you also would be someone, if this happens, since you were sort of the last person to jump in the race, that could put a situation where we could end up with a Democrat, a left-wing Democrat, appointed by Gavin Newsom, as our chairman of the board, who has jurisdiction over the entire agenda. So I guess I'm trying to, I mean, I understand your heart and wanting to run for it. I'm just trying to figure out how that makes any sense, looking at the liability you put the county in.
Is there a question there?
That is a question. What does he think about Mary if she quits?
Well, the goal is to make sure that doesn't happen, obviously.
Oh, good. Okay, so what would be your thought process?
My thought process is to run for supervisor and become the next District 3 candidate, or a supervisor, actually. But I understand your concerns about splitting the vote. I got quite a few threats, which I don't do very well with.
No, that's not very good. People shouldn't do that to you. Go ahead.
And it was probably more motivational for me to run for supervisor when I was getting threatened to not run for supervisor. And I want the people to make a decision. People need to investigate all the candidates and figure out who they are, what they stand for, and I believe I'm somebody that is more well known by the community in District 3. That's a tough thing to say, you know, with the incumbent, but maybe not more well known. That's probably an overstatement, but I'm somebody that people can investigate me, find out who I am, and if you don't know who I am, you can talk to your, you can find somebody around you that knows me and knows what I've stood for and what I've accomplished and what I've done and what I'm capable of doing, and make a good decision.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I do. You know, and I'm not trying to say that I don't think you're a good man, but I hope you're not just running because somebody told you you couldn't.
Well, I did get told not to run. Don't let my pride get in the way, and it's certainly not my pride. I've got a job. I don't need a job. I'm not.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
I'm not doing this because I need another job or a target on my back, but I'm not willing to go sit on the couch and enjoy, you know, all the fruits of my labor.
Well, I guess the question is why did you wait so long and not just going ahead of time? Because I know one time there was a lot of vacillation on who was running, who was running and who wasn't. I know Mary was vacillating, and I know at a point that Wayne Carpenter was vacillating. Why did you wait until two other candidates had already paid for everything, done everything? Why'd you wait till that last minute?
Well, it wasn't. I'll just tell you the truth. You want me to tell you the truth?
Yeah, I'm sure you will, and sure. I believe that you will. Go ahead.
I will always tell the truth.
Yes, you will. Okay, go ahead.
The truth is I had a hunting trip in Alaska.
Oh.
That took 3 weeks out of my schedule, and I didn't want to start this thing until I got back from Alaska.
Oh, okay, a hunting trip. Okay.
I didn't think it was a good idea to kick it off and then leave town.
You want a hunting trip, yeah. Yeah, especially when you have, you know, 180,000 people at stake. I agree.
Do you have any more questions or comments, Terry? We do have another caller
on
the line.
Go ahead, and I'm done. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Laura, are you there? Laura, you're on.
Okay, great. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes. What can we do for you, Laura?
I wanted to announce that I'm having a town hall, and it's going to be this Thursday, February 1st, at 5:30 p.m. at the Reading Public Library. And I wanted to thank all your guests that showed up to my fundraiser last night to support me. A good time was had by all, and I appreciate everybody who came. That's it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Laura. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
So I did have a question for you. I know we addressed the situation with the police and with the crime that has been skyrocketing, quite frankly, for a while now. My question to you would be, what would your stance be and what would you do to affect the homeless situation?
I have an office over by the grocery outlet, the post office, off of Churn Creek.
Well, okay.
And I pretty much deal with the homeless every day. They want to camp out and defecate on the wall behind my, and I'm very frustrated with the whole thing. I gotta make sure that, and it doesn't always happen, but I gotta try to make sure one of the guys is at the office before the girls show up, so they, you know, they're not uncomfortable going inside the building. I've run them off. I've been broken into. I probably have as much experience as you can get as a businessman dealing with the homeless. You know, do I have all the answers for that? Not necessarily, but I think that we got to figure that out. We got to figure out who these people are and see if we can help them. I mostly want to run them off, and I've befriended a couple of them that were pretty decent.
I think there's a cross section, just like any community, of people in that homeless situation. You got guys that are homeless for no fault of their own, but then you got guys that refuse to comply with, you know, getting a job and the norms of society. And then there's drug and alcohol addiction. Excuse me. Drug and alcohol addiction. And then, and this recidivism is a problem too. I mean, we got a revolving door. So what do we do? They're talking about taking a new approach. And what do you think we should do? You haven't figured it out yet, but have you got any ideas?
Well, without knowing how to go about it, you know, we got to quit
coddling,
feeding animals.
Yeah,
I don't. That's probably not a good word.
Yeah, feeding the bears. That just seems a little harsh. But at the same time, tough love is seems like what we need to do a lot of places around the country and the communities, because this whole attitude of showing no accountability and being understanding of things that are completely absurd does not seem to be working either.
Well, they seem to think a lot of times in these programs, if you just keep throwing money and doing the same thing, that will help the people. They don't stop and examine to see what is working, what isn't working, in my opinion. You know, they think, well, if we get more money from the state, it'll make it all better. And that's not the case. That doesn't fix the problem.
So I had a conversation with a guy. I know I'm not going to say his name, but there's two brothers that are they're working in the community. They're businessmen. They're very successful in what they do. They got one brother that's chosen to live on the streets. They've done everything they can to try to get their other brother off the street. This was a private personal conversation, but it was like a little bit of an eye opener for me. It's like he refuses, doesn't want the help, won't take the help. And it's right. Like, what do you do about that?
Well, the problem is, it's like you can't make a person do things that they refuse to do. It's really that simple. It's like if a child refuses to learn at school, you know. In fact, I was just talking to my granddaughter, you know, and she came up with a really cool saying that's on the teacher's wall. It says, if you don't want to learn, nobody can make you. If you really want to learn, nobody can stop you. And that really is what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got to do is we've got to, you know, what's the saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can throw salt in his oats and make him thirsty. And I think that's where we need to go with this, is these people have to want to get out of their situations. And so in order to want to get out of their situations, there has to be some incentive to get out of the situation.
Well, if they're on drugs, you know,
Dry them out.
We got to get them off drugs.
Yeah, exactly. They got to be dried out because they're not thinking clearly. They're not thinking rationally. And that's what the coddling program has done. Like, you go down to San Francisco, there's needles everywhere. They're giving out free dope. There's carjackings everywhere because they haven't disincentivized that. You know, if you give people drugs, they're going to be on drugs. I mean, it's really that simple.
I understand the frustration. And what do we do about it? Well, we got to quit supporting it.
Yeah, we absolutely.
With that, we get. Yeah. I'm sorry, we got a couple callers on the line. I believe the first one is Lori. Good morning, Lori. Lori, are you there?
You're on air, Lori. If you're there,
Lori. If not, I'm going to have to go to the next caller. Lori, are you there?
Well, I can hear somebody breathing, but
okay.
I'm Janet. I am waiting. Are you waiting for me?
We'll go to you, Janet. Go ahead. You're on.
Okay. Good morning. Courtney, I am so glad that we have two decent candidates running for District 3. I had the pleasure of moderating a town hall between you and Wynn Carpenter, and the people who were in attendance learned a lot. Here is my concern. You admitted that you do not attend board meetings, and there were many issues about which you were not familiar. And you have a business background. You have a construction background. Would you bid a job for a project without having first visited the construction site? And I'm afraid that's what you're doing with the Board of Supervisors. You have not visited that construction site of the board meetings. So if the job is not an internship, and I know that you are capable of learning, but are you board ready right now? Or do you need 4 years to start visiting board meetings and getting some information before you jump in there and start doing my work for me? And I will take your answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Janet.
Oh, what, we're keeping this answer on the air.
No.
Well, no.
She's going to listen to your answer.
She's not going
to
stay on the line.
Oh, I got you. Okay, I got you.
Okay.
She's right. I haven't been down there hanging out at the... I do have another job. I said that, but I have good people that will backfill my job. And if I get this job as superintendent or supervisor, superintendent's a word I'm more familiar with. If I get this job as supervisor, I'm not going to sit on my couch and try to run it from my couch. I'm going to go in there and learn everything I need to learn. It's not rocket science. I think it needs the right person. And I will go in there and learn everything I need to know. Do I know everything that Wynn Carpenter knows at this point? Probably not, but I'll learn it. And this position is something that would get taken over in 25, not this year.
So you'd start attending meetings and get up to speed is what you're saying.
I've been to several of them meetings down there, and it feels like chaos, and that's part of my frustration. There's a whole left side of the room and a whole right side of the room, and then people not even talking to each other. And
it is chaos, and I don't know if anybody can stop that because, the problem is that you've got a group of subversive down there that will want to squash everybody else's rights in the process and control the boardroom, which then makes it hard for anybody else to get in there and say anything. And it is a divide. There's no question.
Right. With that, we do have another caller. Lori's back on the line, I believe. Are you there, Lori?
I don't feel like I finished
answering.
Yep,
a little technical glitch. Hold
on, Lori. Yep.
He wants to finish.
He wants to finish. I guess I got him off, and I'm sorry, Cork.
No, that's
he
not.
Wants I'll to finish an
no,
answer.
That's okay. I appreciate Janet's question, but you can look at the candidate and say, is he capable? Will he take on the project? I've never not finished a project. In my world, though, I gotta bond it, and I gotta make sure it gets done on time and on schedule, or it comes out of my pocket. I'll take that on just like I've taken on every other project. I'll learn everything I need to know, and I'll go in there and dig deep and make sure I make good decisions. We need to figure out which candidate's capable of making good decisions, and which candidate is for the people, of the people, and of the people. That's who I am. I'm a pillar of the community, like somebody just said. I hate to talk like that because it sounds like you're jerking your own chain, but that's who I am.
All right. Now, Lori, you still there?
Hey, Lori.
You bet. I sure am.
All right, what you got?
I'm going to follow up with Terry, who called in, and Janet, same thing. If you cannot show up at a Board of Supervisor meeting on any regular basis and deal with the circus or the clown act or these freaks or these disruptors, you're not very brave. I think I am 1,000 times braver than you are, Corky. And is Corky your real name? Because I'm going to do some deep diving research, or is it a nickname? So please clarify if that's your real birth name to look you up. And how are you going to handle the next round of lockdowns, closures, the vaccines, the masks, and all the other ridiculous stay apart, all that horrible plandemic, scandemic? I seriously am so concerned. You were on Carl Bott's show recently, and you made the same comment, sir, about that it's just a joke to attend. well, if it's a joke to attend, why would I even want to vote for you and put you in office so you could just be another part of the weak-kneed people? So I appreciate John Knight calling in, and if there's ever a show idea, I'm going to take my answers off the air. If there's a show idea for the future, I'd like to put it down where people say the first time I met so-and-so, and I will go by this, the first time I met John Knight was during that outdoor, big, huge, massive lockout Board of Supervisors where you had to show up one at a time, speak, and leave. I happened to have heard John Knight, and I was like, who is that guy? And I tried to find him, and I was with my
Lori,
friend Corey.
Lori,
so
we're running out of time, so
okay,
I've got to cut it short. Go ahead and let him answer the question, and then we have another caller.
So I probably should have did a better job of planting some phone calls that were for Corky.
We did not plan any phone calls. Let's get something straight.
Yeah.
We don't give the candidates the questions beforehand, and we don't have anybody call in.
And these people are regular callers, too.
I didn't mean you to.
They're regular callers to the show, and they have their own viewpoints, and we let them on. And so,
I'll say this because you're short on time, but Kristi Noem is probably one of my favorite governors.
I love
Kristi
Noem.
Yeah.
I think she's
absolutely
the best governor in the state. I've been actually thinking about moving to South Dakota.
I know. And so for me to answer that question is like, that's one of my favorite governors. She didn't let anything get shut down.
Right.
And their economy boomed.
That's a good answer. Yeah. I like that answer. So, before we get to Roberta, I'm going to ask one question about the Constitution because of the chat room. So do you believe that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is the supreme law of the land, and do you believe that we are following it in the state of California?
I absolutely am a constitutionist. I believe in the Constitution. I actually keep it in the door of my truck.
So do you think we're following it in the state of California? And if we aren't, what do you think we can do about it? Would you recommend a sanctuary state? Or, I mean, a sanctuary county's Second Amendment? Do you agree with all that or whatever?
I believe in minimal government and not any government overreach, which we're experiencing with our elections, and we're right here in Shasta County, and we're experiencing the overreach with the wind farm, for instance. They're trying to. Absolutely. I'm a patriotic, law-abiding citizen. You know, this is like a job interview. Like I said, I don't do job interviews very well. And if you want a good,
And it's hard to do this in a short hour and try to ask you questions. And, you know, and we are really trying to be as fair as we possibly can, you know, at this. So I'm not trying to throw you curveballs or anything some hard balls maybe because this is a hard business. But you're going to have to be, ready by the time if you do get to the Board of Supervisors meeting because it is a zoo and it's a meat grinder right now. There's no question about it. So, let's go to our caller, Roberta.
We've got Roberta on the line. Are you there, Roberta?
Yes.
You got a question or comment for our guest?
I do.
Go. You're on.
Okay. I would like to know, Corky, what your thought processes were to jump in at the last moment and try to split the vote so that it would ensure Mary Rickard a win.
Well, I absolutely didn't jump in at the last moment to try to split the vote.
Well, you're an intelligent man. Didn't you see that that's what you're doing?
I don't think that's what I'm doing, but I guess that's somebody's opinion. I'm not here to split the vote. I think the people are competent enough to make their own decision.
Well, might not be, but you say you're so intelligent and have so much experience, then why couldn't you have seen that? So that's all my question. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. Go ahead.
So one thing I'm not going to sit here and tell people is that I'm so intelligent because I don't think there's a lot more intelligent people out there. But I do have a lot of common sense, and my background and my experience shows that. You can't do what I've accomplished in the last 30-something years in business and not be capable of running a business, which Shasta County is one of the largest businesses in the county, and we need some good business sense on that board.
I can't argue with that at all. I mean, common sense is a good thing these days, I think.
We do have another caller real quick. I think it's Cheryl. Is it Cheryl on the line? Are you there?
We got 2 minutes, so hurry
up. Hello? Hello?
We're going to have to... Yeah, I'm not sure what that's all about.
Cheryl? I guess they're not there. So how do they get a hold of you, Corky? What's your website, phone numbers, things like that?
Any information you want to get out, you got to hurry because we're running out of time.
CorkyHarmon.com. CorkyHarmon. And I will be out there. I'll be running around. You can get a hold of me. You can find out who I am. It's not hard to figure out who I am.
All right. Well, we want to say thank you for coming in and taking the heat from some of the callers.
I tell you, I wouldn't want to be a candidate, and it takes you got to have guts, and you got to have and your heart's in the right spot, I think. But it's a tough arena, and it's not for the weak or the weak minded. So good luck to you, and hopefully we'll talk to you in the future.
All right, thanks for coming in again. We appreciate it. And with that, I think we're at the end of the show.
I think so. I haven't heard the music yet, but I think we're going to.
I think we are. There it is. All right.
Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is dangerous servant and fearful master.
All right, and we'll see y'all next week.
All gun. Go broke, no hope, it's pathetic. Pro-choice pronouns, pro-love, you're progressive. But you ain't pro-gun, no wonder protected. Where the American flags at? Remember when people would hang those? They've been taken down, they all been replaced with BLM flags or a rainbow. This ain't rap, this ain't money, cars and clothes. We ain't selling drugs, we ain't gonna overdose. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.